session number 12138, Leslie Brower, Reel 2.
Leslie Brower, Reel 2. Were there any subjects which you would not have filmed?
Yes, two specific cases I remember. One was after the Battle of Alamein, and we were at Bursley, and we came across bodies of the Aussies. They were wonderful people, the Anzacs. And I remember seeing from the road hospital people from the burial divisions picking up bodies. And I remember one picking up a body and it exploded. And the horror and the terror and the eyes of these other soldiers who were helping to collect the bodies when they realized that the Germans were putting anti-personnel mines under the bodies of dead soldiers. That had a terrific effect on us for a long time. I would have never photographed that. It's something personal and something horrible that the War Crimes Commission should probably took up later on. The other thing was we saw a B-17 bomber flying very, very low. It had obviously been hit and one of the engines was on fire. And in Algiers, and it hit a power cable, burst into flames and crashed, and we were only a few hundred yards away. Our regimental doctor was already on his way with his van to the site, and we were running towards it, and out of these flames a most horrible black thing walked. It was smoking and black from head to foot. And we saw the regimental doctor rush up to him with a huge syringe of red, obviously, what it was, and just push it into him to kill him. It was a horrible sight. I'll never forget that.
Your film does, at times, attempt to show the local population.
Yes, well, I felt that was ordinary people from all over the world, ordinary Arabs, despite what one would say about them. I found them very, very intelligent and nice people, and I got very friendly with them. And I didn't get the experience that all they were after was your money and what they could get out of you. Oh, God. Got to start again.
No, mine is picking it up.
Oh, I see, right. Sorry about that. I had that. Okay, it was definitely picking it up, wasn't it? Yes, okay. Yeah.
There is a special sequence where some Arab children are following a British soldier.
Yes. Well, we used to give them chocolate and we give them the coins and things like that. I think the ordinary soldier was very good to the, they gave a good impression to these local people, because it wasn't their war. I mean, it's imagine yourself in a situation where the Martians came and Martians were fighting Martians, and you wonder what the hell's going on. Your home's being destroyed, stray shells were killing your parents. In Italy, it was horrible. It was really terrible in Italy. But we certainly had no animosity against the poor people whose country we were destroying.
Why did you stop filming after you left North Africa?
Well, I never was in the actual fighting situation anymore, and I didn't have any more reason to... I didn't feel I wanted to photograph anymore.
Although you did photograph convalescence.
Yes, I did stills. I was the sort of still photographer in the Stars and Battle Dress unit, and I lost the lot. I brought an awful lot of film back, but the flood in London destroyed the lot. But that's another story.
To return to the same story, could you say a bit more about the way that you were treated in hospital and the situation of soldiers with hepatitis or with other serious diseases?
Yes. Well, in the American hospital, it was taken very, very serious. But when we were transferred to a holding unit before we were sent back to convalescent. I remember one incident where a Canadian soldier was in my tent, and he was complaining bitterly of backache. He'd had some illness, and I was outside at the time, and I saw one of the British medical officers standing at the tent behind his bed, listening to see if he could hear anything that would say that this bloke was trying it on. And I thought that was pretty low. The attitude was that all British soldiers were trying to work their ticket, and I found that very offensive. But the Americans never had that attitude. They were, if a soldier genuinely seemed to be suffering from fatigue, war fatigue, which a lot of us did, he was given treatment for that as a psychological illness. They accepted it, they realised it, but not the British Army. If you didn't have a wound on you, and you were frightened, and you'd suffered, you're a malingerer. That was the only situation. Of course, that's not like the army today, but that's what the army was in those days.
You were therefore fortunate to have been directed to the American hospital in Bizerta.
I feel that if I hadn't have been sent to an American hospital, they wouldn't have taken the care of me in the British hospital. I just felt that. I was stunned at the way they looked after me and the way they did tests on me and tried all these ways of getting me back well again, taking a serious interest in me, just an ordinary bod. But I saw two boys in the British hospital, in the convalescent hospital, die of the same thing I had, and I saw that they weren't given blood transfusions. I know that they just died. I don't think it wasn't that they weren't going to, that the British medical section wasn't interested, but I don't think that they bothered to see what was happening in other theatres of the war and how it was being. You see, in the American hospital, they were taking this very, very serious, this epidemic. I never heard it referred to in any of the other hospitals when I moved away from there. But I do know that after the war, I met one or two people, medical doctors, who had told me that there was a great interest taken in these infective hepatitis infestation, because they happened in various theatres of war.
Your scene ends with various shots taken in Cairo, but also in Palestine.
Yes.
Were you convalescing in Palestine?
Yes, I went up to Cairo. We went on a holiday. Well, I was ill for a long time, and they couldn't argue. I was yellow for months, so they let me go for a few days' trip up to Palestine. And it was quite wonderful to see the holy places and places I would have felt I'd never go to in normal circumstances.
After your recovery, or your recovery from the army's point of view?
Yes, well, I was then moved up back to the North African theatre, which was now transferred to Italy. And then I changed. I was downgraded. I came out of hospital downgraded. They had to do it because I was getting heart murmurs and all kinds of things. They tried so hard to make me A1, but I was physically no longer fit. I eventually became fit, but it took about 6 months, 8 months, a year. And they downgraded me to B1, which meant I was no longer in the theatre of war. So I was put into a transit camp for change of job. And along came this notice on the notice board that there was a new unit called Central Pool of Artists, Stars and Battle Dress, and anybody who had any interest in the theatre.
Any interest in or experience of?
Interest or experience. Would they please report to Hector Ross, who's a well-known film star of the time, and forgot the other bloke. And I went there and I said, look, I was training as an architect. I can design sets and I think you'll find that very... So, well, we haven't got a place for a set designer, but we do have for a driver. Can you drive? So I went in as a driver, never drove, but did design sets. And it was another war for me after that. 1940, I think the 1944 would have been. And I became a human being again. And while I was in the camp, I was made a sergeant in the education corps. So
at
I
camp?
Yes. So I carried on with that for a while. But after that, as I say, I missed the whole of the theatre of war in Europe, which must have been bloody, must have been terrible. Because from the experiences I had, I could scale the type of war that was going on in Europe. Must have been hell. Must have been hell. I would scale that the Far East was the worst. The Americans in the Pacific and the Burma campaign was the worst of all. What the soldiers had to put up with there, being prisoners of war. Then I should think that the Western Desert, the early part when the things weren't going well for Britain, that was bad, but nothing compared with what happened in Europe.
Did you at any stage of your time in the Army try to transfer to the Army Film Unit?
I did, but I was I went to my colonel in the second RHA because you were allowed to apply, and I think the impression was that I was trying to get out of active service, and it was never granted. I mean,
did you ever see Army Film Unit cameramen?
I did. I saw one who came through our unit. And I was very interested in the camera he had, this 35mm, very heavy hand-wound camera with a tri-lens on the front. I thought if I had one of those, I could really enjoy myself.
When did you leave the Army?
About 6 months after they dropped the atom bomb on Japan, at that time I was stationed in London, and I was glad to get out of the Army. I'd had enough.
And subsequently in civilian life?
Oh, well, then I began to go. I didn't go back to architecture, but I did. I did manage to team up with some people whom I'd met and started practicing industrial and exhibition design. Did very, very well for a long, long time. So then I began to take an interest in editing up this film. It wasn't so easy to show it with an 8mm camera, but it wasn't till the event of video when I was able to get it transposed onto video that I was amazed at the number of people who would watch it and look at it. It was, it suddenly dawned on me 50 years ago where we were looking at history here.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome.